So we'll tell you more stuff at the close. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 5. And two Sundays ago, I shared a story from this passage from Mark 5 about, it freaked some of you out because we talked about the 12-year quarantine and traumatized a couple of you with the thought of, oh, Lord. And so we're talking about the woman with the issue of blood. If you recall, when we read her story and her encounter with Jesus, she had actually interrupted Jesus on his way to the house of a man named Jairus, because Jairus' daughter was sick and at the point of death. And he had asked Jesus to come and to heal her. And so this is not an actual photograph of Jairus' daughter, but that would be about right, probably, for a little gal. So here's what Mark's gospel tells us in Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, and Mark is referring to the Sea of Galilee, it is a lake, so he's referring to it as a lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. And seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter's dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And this is when he gets interrupted by this lady with what King James Version calls an issue of blood. And we know from her story from last week, and I'm going to skip ahead to verse 35, but you know what happened. She said, if I just touch the fringe of his prayer shawl, the tzitzit, that little string there, if I just touch the tassel of his garment, I believe I'll be healed. And she was healed as she touched that. Jesus stopped to have a conversation with her, and she told the whole story of her medical history, which people are wont to do, right? If you've ever had a stranger tell you their entire medical history while you're sitting in a doctor's waiting area, well, then you know kind of what this, oh, yeah, no, I've had this for years, back when, anyway, maybe it's just something about me that people feel like they can open up and tell me stuff that I'm really trying to read in my magazine. But anyway, and so she told the whole story, and then you'll see what happens. It says in verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men from the house of Jairus showed up, right? So while he's still speaking, they came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" And ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. And at this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Mark, who typically writes with urgency and brevity in his gospel, he gives us, for Mark, he gives us quite a bit of detail. Jairus is identified for us as a loving husband and father. He's a leader, or it says a ruler in the synagogue, so he was maybe kind of the president of the organization, of the synagogue, or head of the men's ministry, or whatever. But he was a man then of some prominence in the community. The men who came from his house were probably servants, and so he was a man of some means, and yet we find him falling at the feet of Jesus, pleading with him to come to his home in behalf of his daughter, whom he says is not just sick, but is dying. So this prominent man, you know, you kind of picture him all dressed and whatever, a man of prominence, a man of dignity or whatever, all that, he forgets about that, and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. You know, pride takes a back seat to desperation. If your child is sick and dying, you don't care. You know, you don't care what anybody thinks about it. You're going to get the help that you need, you know? And so that's what this man does. He falls at the feet of Jesus and asks him to come and help. Mark doesn't say anything about a prior relationship between Jesus and Jairus, but since Jesus was a traveling rabbi, and we kind of assume then that he's come to Capernaum, which is his adopted hometown. Jesus no longer, that's what he did. He adopted Capernaum as his hometown rather than Nazareth. And so it tells us at the beginning of chapter 5, they had gone across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, which was on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And now Mark tells us they had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, so they've come back to the other side. So it's most likely that they've come to kind of that northern edge, the northern top of the lake where Capernaum is. And so it's possible then, since Jesus was a traveling rabbi, he had taught in all these villages and had taught at Capernaum, that he and Jairus knew one another. Jairus was the synagogue ruler. So it doesn't say it in the Bible, but I kind of believe they might have known each other. Maybe Jesus had even been in their home. Maybe he knew the little girl. So he knew immediately who they were talking about when Jairus said, "My little girl is sick. You've got to come." Regardless, the important thing is that Jairus knew when trouble came, he knew where to go. He went to Jesus. He turned to Jesus, and without hesitation, Jesus went with him. Verse 24 says, "So Jesus went with him." And you have to imagine how encouraged Jairus was that finally Jesus was here. Apparently, he was on the other side of the lake when she got sick. And Jairus had to be thinking, kind of like what Mary and Martha thought when Lazarus got sick, what they said to Jesus after he got there, "If only you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died." And I think Jairus must be thinking, if only Jesus was here, everything would be okay. She wouldn't be sick. It would be fine. If only Jesus was here. And so maybe he'd been pacing on the shoreline out there in the, in the little cove there where the boats would come in near Capernaum. And so he's just thinking, when is he going to get here? Where is he? How do we get Jesus here? And now Jesus arrives from the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and Jairus is thinking, finally he's here. He's gotten here in time. If I can get to him and ask him, and if he says yes, everything will be all right. Jesus will come to the house, he'll touch her, and she'll be okay, and everything's going to be all right. Finally, things are looking up. Jesus agrees to go, and everything's good. There was a crowd waiting for him. They'd seen the boat coming, and they all rushed out there, and so they have to fight their way through the crowd, but they're making good time. They're going to get there, and then this woman with the issue of blood steps in, and Jesus stops to deal with her. And when he does, time must have slowed to, must have been like slow motion for Jairus. That it doesn't record that he said anything, but I'm thinking that Jairus is thinking, "Jesus, what are you doing? What in the world are you thinking? My daughter is dying." All right, this lady lived there. Jairus is, you just have to imagine that he's thinking, "Look, I've known this lady. She's been sick for years. She's been sick as long as I've known her. She's been sick for 12 years. She's been to doctors and all that stuff. I know her story. Another hour's not going to hurt this woman. Another day's not going to hurt her. She's been sick. What's another day to a woman like this? What's another hour for her? But my daughter doesn't have an hour. She's going to die if you don't get there. Come on, let's go." I mean, don't you think that's what he's thinking? Boy, that's what I'd be thinking. "Come on, Jesus, we've got to get moving. Stay right here. We'll be right back, okay? We'll come back." It wasn't that he didn't want her to get help. It's just that my daughter is about to die. "Lord, why are you letting this happen?" I mean, eventually it kind of gets to that. "Why are you letting this happen? You could have been there. We could have gotten there. Why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I'm the leader in the synagogue. Come on. My little girl hadn't done anything wrong. Where are you, Lord? Why aren't you doing something?" Anybody ever had those kind of thoughts? Yeah, I have. "Lord, why aren't you doing something?" You felt that way. Things were going well. Everything falling into place. The time, everything's going good. It was a good day. I got both sermons finished up yesterday, a message for tonight. Just kind of taking it easy or whatever. I thought, no, this will be good. And I went outside messing with something, and I get stung by a wasp. Yesterday, a pastor friend texted me like, "So, how's your day gone?" I said, "Well, I got stung by a wasp, and my water heater's gone out. We got only cold water. I'm going to have to take a cold shower." So it's not ending as well as it started, okay? You know, it's kind of having a moment here. Things were going so well, and then the wasps, and then the hot water tank. What's the story on that? Everything was going good, everything falling into place, the timing's perfect, and then stupid COVID-19. Then the layoffs, then the company shut down, then the business ended. Life was on track. Finally, things are turning around. We're going to make it, and then surprise, pregnancy. Surprise, divorce. Surprise, unexpected illness. Surprise, a terminal diagnosis. A knock at the door, a friend has died, a loved one. Your life and your plans get interrupted by life. You know, it just kind of does. And none of us saw this coming. We don't like it. We're not happy about it. As someone said, ain't none of us got time for this, and that's the truth. Ain't none of us got time for this. This isn't what any of us planned, all right? None of us were hoping for this. But look who's unfazed by all of this. Jesus. He calmly stops to deal with the suffering woman. And what's your story? You know, she's telling all this story. And when they get the bad news from Jairus' servants, Jesus simply says, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid. It's like he's saying, just keep the faith, because it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You've heard me say it multiple times through the last 45 years. Boy, it's a long time. All right, you're ready for it. Anyway, well, you've heard me say it all these years, but Jesus responds to Jairus like his response to the mourners here in a minute when he says, what are you all so upset about? Why all the wailing and crying, right? Like his response to so many adverse circumstances in the Gospels when he seems almost puzzled by our response, like, don't you care that we're about to drown? What are you so worried about? It's like he's puzzled by our fear or our grief or our worry. It reminds us of something that we need to be reminded of today, that Jesus knows something we don't know about everything. Jesus knows something. In every situation, he knows something we don't know. He sees another outcome than what we're able to see today. And that's why he can say, don't panic, don't be afraid, just keep trusting. Just keep believing. Just put your hope in me, because I see what you can't see. I know what you don't know. There's another outcome that's going to happen. Just keep it in mind. Somehow the things we view as delays and interruptions from this side of eternity, the things we consider as trouble or disaster, apparently from heaven's point of view, from heaven's side of things, they're viewed as opportunities for God's glory to be seen, as opportunity for us to learn more about trusting him and to deepen our relationship with Jesus. Heaven sees it as an opportunity for heaven's purposes to be fulfilled in heaven's grand redemption plan and in heaven's perfect timing on everything. So we kind of just get frustrated, stupid COVID, it's interrupted all my plans, and yet heaven still is saying, watch the opportunities for God to be glorified and his kingdom to be advanced in this season in spite of interruptions and delay. Again, heaven knows something that we don't know. Heaven sees a different outcome. So maybe heaven says, yeah, don't stop your grumbling and just keep trusting. Just keep looking to Jesus, because there's a plan in all this. He's taking us somewhere. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's shaping up. It's fallen into place, at least from heaven's standpoint, right? I don't know how soon anything's going to happen, but Jesus said, yeah, when you see these signs, so we knew something was going to happen. He's moving us somewhere. And so we're going to keep trusting. And we understand that from a philosophical and a theological point of view. That's the position I take. That's the counsel I'm giving you this morning. And it's the counsel I would give to anyone. God's at work in ways that we don't see, so let's just trust him, and let's just give him time. Let's rest in his timing, right? And that's the truth. And it's easy to say, but when it's my daughter, when it's my family, when it's my lack of income, when it's my job, when I got laid off, when I'm getting the phone call, when the doctor tells me I've got cancer, then all of a sudden, oh no, that's a different deal. It's one thing when I'm given counsel and advice, But boy, it's another when it's talking about me. And I don't know how Jairus responded when Jesus told him not to be afraid and to keep believing. I mean, they had just told him his daughter died, and yet Jesus says, don't be afraid. Just keep trusting. I don't know. It doesn't record that he said anything. But I have to think in his heart and in his head, he's saying, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to hold on, but my daughter's dead. I'm trying to hold on. And while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? And there are no sadder or more final sounding words than these. And some of you have heard those words. And you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. A phone call in the middle of the night that wakes you up to tell you that someone you love has died. A knock at the door and there's a police officer and a chaplain standing there to tell you, I'm so sorry that this is what happened during the night. Your daughter, your son, your loved one is dead. Everything slows to, it's like slow motion. I've been there with people in this church in the middle of the night, in the early hours, with a police chaplain still there and looking at a mom saying, this isn't right. This isn't right. No, it's not. No, it's not. And it's like you're trying to walk through molasses. Everything's just, that's what, I just think that's what Jairus, it's like an explosion went off and there's a ringing in his ears and he's just trying to take another step and how am I going to get through this? And Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. Oh, Jesus, how can I? How can I? And everything changes in a moment and death has come and nothing can change the situation and it's final and it's hopeless. And so the question, why bother the teacher anymore? It makes sense, doesn't it? There's no reason to bother Jesus. There's nothing anyone else can do. Why bother? Why bother? And that question and the answer that I heard is what I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to say to you today, to impress on your heart. Why bother? Why bother when things are already over and final and done, right? When there's nothing else to be done. Why bother when death has come? Why bother when hope has been abandoned? Why bother praying when the job has already been lost? Why bother praying when the answer hasn't come for 12 years, like the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years, and she'd prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. So why are you still praying? Why bother? That's the way you feel some days. Why bother trusting God when nothing seems to change? You've prayed and nothing happened. Why bother? Why bother when you look around at the circumstances in our world? Why bother when the racial and societal and political and economic problems in this nation look like they're beyond fixing? It's all just too broken. Why bother? Why bother when the die has already been cast? Why bother? The little girl's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Why bother? And the answer is found in who Jairus turned to. Because the men said, why bother the teacher? I know the English is not correct. The answer is found in him to whom Jairus turned. Yeah, right? The English teacher said amen. Something to that effect. I actually had someone after first service text me two possible ways to say this. Sometimes it preaches better than it writes, all right? I have to go through and, because I write kind of formally because of writing papers in the past, and I go back and think, no, that needs to just be a contraction. It sounds better. It reads well that way. It sounds better this way. The answer is found in who Jairus turned to. So the men said, why bother the teacher? Good point. Why bother the teacher? You see, there's no point in bothering a teacher because as amazing and as gifted as teachers are, and we've got some teachers here this morning, and you are amazing, and congratulations to you, you're doing an awesome job, and God bless you as you weather whatever's coming here in the next few weeks. I don't know how you're going to do it, and you're going to hear from everybody, and so God bless you, and may his hand rest upon you. I'm not saying that. I mean that with all sincerity, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. There's nothing a teacher can do about dying. There's nothing a teacher can do about death. And if Jesus is just a teacher, If he's just a rabbi that goes from village and village and town to town with a kind of a weird following, then you're right. Why bother him? Why bother him? It doesn't matter if he comes to your house or not. Other than to grieve with you, the Orthodox Jews, when someone dies, they set Shiva. They come for a week, I think it is, and they just sit. You sit on a low bench, and you know, it's like in the South in the old days, they covered the mirrors and stopped the clock and put a wreath on the door and all to let you know death had come to the house. You grieve with people. Well, if he's just a teacher, that's all he can do. Come to the house, we'll have a buffet. Come and sit, and we'll eat something, and we'll just sit. There's nothing he can offer. But friends, let me tell you something this morning. If he's more than a teacher, you hear me? If he's more than a teacher, if he's indeed the Son of God and the Son of Man, as the Bible says, if he's the one who heals the sick and raises the dead because all power and authority has been given to him, if he's indeed, as the Bible says, he's the one by whom all things and for whom all things were created, he's the one who's before all things and in him all things hold together, he's the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells, he's the one who's reconciling all things to himself, he's the one who's the radiance of God's glory, he's the one who was dead and now is alive and lives forevermore and holds the keys of death and the grave in his hands, if that's who he is, then by all means bother him, call on him, run to him, fix your eyes on him, ask him, trust him, have faith in him, serve him, live for him, even when everything is hopeless and when everything is falling apart, because friends, he's not just a teacher and not just a rabbi and not just a friend. He's the eternal Son of the living God, and with him and for him all things are possible. Not even death can stop him. Somebody ought to shout amen to that this morning. That's who he is. So yeah, you don't need a teacher, but you need the Son of the living God. That's what you need when death has come to your door. Why bother praying about all the circumstances in your life? It seems so bleak because you're talking to the one who's above all. As Josh said it this morning, the one who died and who rose again and who rules and reigns. He has all power and authority. That's why I'm still praying, even if I haven't had an answer in 12 years. That's why I'm still praying when everything looks dark and gloomy. Why bother praying about the crisis in our nation? Because he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He still is sitting on the throne. He still rules and reigns over this universe, and he still answers prayer. Why bother praying when it seems so hopeless? Because it's about more than you see at the moment. It's about more than what you think in this moment. I feel that in my heart. Heaven sees a different outcome because we pray. Remember that. You see, Jairus thought that it was just about that moment, and when they said his daughter was dead, that was it. Game over. Opportunity lost. But Jesus knew it was about more than that one moment. It's about more than one opportunity. There's a bigger picture. There's a grander vista to the purposes of God. It's always about more with Jesus because eternity is always somewhere in view. Are you hearing me this morning? There's always another layer. There's always another aspect because he's put eternity in our hearts. There's always an eternal peace to this. Don't overlook it. Don't be afraid. Just believe because heaven is seeing a different outcome. Hear me this morning. Heaven is seeing a different outcome for you and for your circumstances and for your family and for your situation. Heaven has already determined something different. So don't give up in the midst of this. Don't put all your coins on this. Listen to me. Heaven sees a different outcome for you this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting this at home or here either, but God sent me here to tell you that heaven is seeing a different outcome. Why bother the teacher anymore, they ask. You need to understand it's not a bother, it's obedience. The Bible, the Lord said, call on me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. You see, heaven doesn't see it as a bother. It's obedience. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We're going to talk about that tonight when we have communion. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. It's not a bother to ask Jesus. It's obedience. Yeah. Trust me this morning. Heaven, there, at no time when you call on him today is God going to say, hey, I'm kind of busy. I got a worldwide pandemic, if you haven't heard. So hurry up. What's your problem? State your business and moving along here, you know? That's not happening. Why? Because he's a father, and he invited you to ask. Ask, seek, knock, come to me, call on me, ask me. It's obedience when we call on him. It's obedience. Jairus did exactly what Jesus wanted him to do. Come to me. The woman with the issue of blood did exactly what Jesus wanted her to do. Come to me. Don't be anxious for anything, Paul says, but instead with prayer and thanksgiving, bring all your requests to him. Bring everything to him. It's what he wants us to do. Folks, it's not a bother. It's obedience when we bring our needs to him. And trust me, it's not a bother, it's opportunity. So don't give up in the midst of that hopeless situation. It's an opportunity that God's presenting you for God's glory to be seen, for God's glory to be revealed like you've never seen it before. The disciples said of a blind man, who sinned, this man or his father, that he'd be born blind? And Jesus said, neither one, but so the glory of God could be seen. Right? What are we in the middle of? I don't know. Where's God in this? I don't know. But God sees a different outcome in all this. He's going to work his plan and purpose somehow. So what are we supposed to do? Don't be afraid. Just keep believing. Right? I mean, that seems to be it. It's not a bother. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see what God's going to do. It's an opportunity for you to grow in grace and in trust and in faith. I'll guarantee you that Jairus and his wife and his daughter were never the same after this experience. Why bother? Because Jesus is here and everything is possible. Why bother? Where Jesus is, there's hope, regardless of how bleak the circumstances. Jesus is here, and there's an opportunity for his glory to be revealed, for his purposes to be accomplished, for his kingdom to be advanced. And so Jesus tells Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Believe and don't stop believing. Keep believing, keep trusting, keep trusting. When the timing isn't right, keep trusting. When the report isn't what you expected, keep trusting. When the finances aren't enough, keep trusting. When the boss says, I'm sorry, but we're just going to have to shut down, we're not coming back after this, keep trusting, keep believing. It's about constantly looking to Jesus. Hebrews 11 is that great chapter of faith, that hall of faith, all those people by faith. Faith's the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is how we're going to trust him. This is how we're going to live, is by faith. And that whole chapter spells that out. In the next chapter, it says, then let us then, in light of this, therefore, in light of all this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Here's the essence of what of how we direct our faith. This is what it's about. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of him regardless of the circumstances. That's faith. Looking to Jesus. You say, well, I'm just not sure that I've got enough faith. Well, how much do you think you're going to need? I don't know if I have that kind of faith. I think it's less about how much you got and where you're putting it, is my opinion. And so when you fix your eyes on Jesus, that's where you want your faith. David Garland, in his commentary, New Testament commentary on Mark, wrote this: faith can be imperfect, it can be bold, it can be halting, it can be brave, it can be laced with fear and trepidation. What counts for it to be effective is for it to be directed rightly to Jesus. I'm going to tell you today, if you think, well, I don't know if I got enough faith, my faith gets a little wonky some days, but I've never stopped having faith in Jesus. I've never stopped directing it to the right place. My faith is not in how much faith I've got. My faith is in Jesus, the one who said he was the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's what Jairus was doing. He came to Jesus and pleaded with him for help, and he never stopped looking to Jesus. And when the delay and the interruption came, Jairus stayed right there by Jesus. He just kept looking at Jesus. He may have been giving him the stink eye at one point in time, like, come on, we gotta go. But he never took his eyes off of Jesus. When they stopped because of the woman, he just kept looking to Jesus. When the men came and said, your daughter is dead, Jairus kept looking to Jesus. So let me ask you this morning as we wrap this up, where are you looking today? Who are you looking to? Where are you looking? You're thinking, well, things are so bad, why bother? Keep looking to Jesus. It's never been this bad. Keep looking to Jesus. I don't know how we're going to get through this. Keep looking to Jesus. I don't know how we're going to solve this. Keep looking to Jesus. Teachers, I don't know how we're going to do this, but keep looking to Jesus. Preachers, I don't know how we're going to do this. Keep looking to Jesus. I don't know, but we're going to keep looking to Jesus. That's the only hope we've got, is to keep our eyes and keep our faith on Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the answer. He's the resource. He's our source. He's our help. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's everything. I'm going to keep my faith on Him. Where are you looking today? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus got to Jairus' house, found the mourners already there. Burial would happen that afternoon because of the climate and how quickly the bodies would decay and all those kind of things. So burial would happen like it did with Jesus. Take him down, wrap him, and immediately the burial would happen. And he was a man of prominence in the city, and this is a 12-year-old girl. I would expect everybody would turn out for that, but just in case, there were people who actually were just like kind of mourners. That's just kind of what they did. Oh, did you hear? I didn't really know him. I'm kind of a funeral goer kind of guy anyway. I didn't really know him, but I want to go. And so that's what happened. So the people are already there expecting the burial. And instead of grieving, Jesus puts the crowd out, and he calls just mom and dad and the three disciples that he brought with him, Peter, James, and John, into the room. I've heard people say, well, he was getting all the doubters out because Jesus had said, you know, don't, ignoring what they said. That's good preaching. Just ignore the doubters and ignore the doubt and build your faith. And so we got to have more faith talking in here. So all the doubters have to go. This isn't kryptonite. He's not Superman, all right? So Jesus' faith, his power to heal this girl is not weakened by the people wailing outside. You know, we're going to have to get them out so I can focus here, and, you know. Think of the power team, like, help him, trying to blow up a hot water bottle. That's not what was happening in here, okay? Come on, Jesus, help him blow up the hot water bottle. Y'all see the power team, you remember? Okay, yeah, help him. Like, how are we going to... Wasn't sure how to help him. But anyway, those were the good old days, weren't they? I don't know when that was, but I was there. Let's break something with a sledgehammer. Anyway, so yeah, that I think Jesus was like, you people are driving me crazy. Get them out of here. It wasn't a diminishing of his power. It was like, oh, thank goodness, those people are out of here. And instead, so he puts everybody out. It's mom and dad and Peter, James, and John. And Jesus takes the little girl by the hand, and in Aramaic, he says to her, little girl, get up. And she stands up, Mark says, and she began to walk, alive and well. And I love this, in typical Jesus fashion, because you know my theology, that he loved to eat. He said to her, like a good Jewish mother would do, you got anything to eat? She'll feel better if you eat something. Right? Was that your mom? That was my mom. You'll feel better. Eat something, you'll feel better. That's my motto for life. Eat something, you'll feel better. That's what Jesus was saying. Give her a little something. You got a little something? Maybe a sandwich. Just, yeah. When the mutton is nice and lean, I love that. And the tomatoes are so perfect. Okay. These are the jokes, folk. I don't know. I've just decided I'm going to have a good time. Whoever shows up, I'm having a good time. Whoever's watching, I'm having a good time. You guys have been, I had the 9 o'clock crowd. It was like, I was starting to think, nobody's here. So you guys have shown up today. I appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Hallelujah. Give her a little something, she'll feel better. And so that's what she did. And then Jesus said, I don't have time to preach all that, but then he says, yeah, and try not to tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. What about all the people you just ran out of the house? They're going to know. When she comes out with a sandwich, they're going to know. What Jesus was saying was, don't announce this yet because it's not time to announce who I am. For everybody that said Jesus didn't think he was a son, I'm going way down another rabbit trail here, but for everybody that's saying the gospel's, he never said he was the Son of God. He never made any kind of announcement or whatever. Here's one of those moments. Don't tell anybody. Let them figure it out, but don't tell anybody. Because if you go out there, you're going to have to say, whoever this guy is, he has power over life and death. Sounds kind of godlike, doesn't it? So just, yeah. Anyway, you get the point. Jesus, the giver and the restorer of life, has come, and he brings hope into a hopeless situation. Now listen, we know that not every ending is a happy ending in this life. And this family got their little 12-year-old daughter back. But not every little girl gets healed in here in this life. But Jesus brings this girl back to life to show us that there is still hope because Jesus is Lord over all. And Jesus shows us that every time we think, why bother, we can remember that with Jesus, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. That nothing and no one is beyond his reach or his love or his mercy or his help or his power or his grace. It's never too late. Do you hear me? With Jesus, it's never too late. Why bother? I'll tell you why. Because all things are possible to the one who raises the dead. Why bother? Listen, because he can do all things. Don't be afraid. Just believe and keep looking to Jesus and keep trusting Jesus and stay close to Jesus. Why bother? Because Jesus has a plan and he has a time and he has a purpose for you in everything, and he's going to cause those purposes to work out and to come together. Even those things what the devil meant for evil, he can work it for good, and he'll cause all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And even in his delays and even the interruptions are for a reason that he will work for good. Let me say what I said a minute ago. Let me say it again to you. He has pictured a different outcome than the one you're worried about, than the one you've structured. I've told myself this multiple times yesterday, because I'd be working on the sermon and I'd stop and think about, Lord, what are we going to do about this, and what are we going to do about that, and what are we going to do about that? I remember getting up once and walking away from my desk, and I stood somewhere and it was like I heard the Lord saying, and I've determined a different outcome than the one that you're worried about in there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so I go back and hit it again, but I'm still having to deal with it. But he's determined a different outcome for us. He's got a plan and a purpose, and it's going to be for good. Well, what are we going to do? I'm going to choose to not be afraid, and I'm going to keep trusting, and I'm going to keep believing in this season, in this major interruption to all of our lives. Keep looking for Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus, because he's determined a different outcome. Heaven has a different outcome than what this world thinks is going to happen. Do you believe that today? Heaven's got a plan and a purpose, and we're part of it, and so we're going to trust him. I'll not be afraid. I'm going to trust in him. And so, Lord, we commit our lives and our circumstances and our family and our job and our nation and all the stuff going on around us, we put it all in your hands today, Lord. We commit it all to you, and we're going to do what Jairus chose to do. We're going to keep looking to Jesus. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. We're going to trust you, Lord, that you're going to cause all these things to work together for good. We believe it, Lord. You've got a different outcome. All we can see right now, it looks pretty hopeless. It looks pretty dark. But Lord, I just believe heaven's determined, heaven's destined, heaven's appointed a different season, a different outcome. There's blessing. There's a way, Lord, that you'll show us, a way that you'll bring us through that we didn't even see or couldn't have predicted. Lord, we're going to trust you that in the midst of a delay, in the midst of an interruption, what's going to happen is what happened for Jairus. Instead, we'll see a greater revelation. We may even see resurrection. We'll see something come back to life. We'll see a new revelation of your glory and your purpose. We'll see your word come alive. We'll see people come to Jesus. We'll see battles won. Hallelujah. We'll see strongholds defeated. We'll see enemies conquered. We'll see Jesus rise in victory. We'll see your name glorified. We'll see your church purged and purified and glorified. We'll see you work, because heaven has pictured a different outcome for us. So when the enemy says, why bother? When the voice inside our head says, why bother with prayer? Why bother with trust? Why bother with going on serving Jesus? We're going to do what Jesus told Jairus to do. We're not going to be afraid. We're going to believe. We're going to trust you. There's a different outcome. There's another day, Lord. There is a different outcome that heaven has destined for us, and we embrace it in faith today. Lord, for somebody that is just about ready to give up, they're just about ready to throw in the towel, somebody sitting in this room this morning, somebody watching online, let the Spirit of the Lord bring encouragement in their heart and in their spirit right now. I'm not going to quit. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'll make it another day. I'll make it another hour. I'll make it another week. I'll make it another month. I'll make it another season. I'm going to make it, because, Lord, you have determined a different outcome for me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to hang in here. We'll get this worked out. We'll see our marriage healed. We'll see this come back together because you've determined a different outcome and we trust you with it today. Lord, let it be. Let it be for us as we reach out to you this morning. Lord, I thank you. I trust you. I believe you for the answer. I believe you for the help today. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even when the darkness surrounds us, you bring light to our path. Your word is that lamp to our feet. We're going to trust you, and we'll see the next step to take, and we'll walk in obedience to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you for better things ahead, Lord. Regardless of difficulty around us, we just know that in the kingdom, Lord, we're going to say, oh, I'm satisfied. There's a comfort that comes. There's peace that comes. Lord, I'm going to walk with you, and it's going to be okay. I can rest in you. Lord, let us hear your word to Jairus one more time. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Let it ring in our heart, not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. We trust you with it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen. I believe what I've told you this morning. He's pictured a different outcome. Heaven's got another plan, another agenda. And so let's hold to that. Let's trust him and his agenda. Let's trust him and his plan, his outcome. We'll watch and we'll see what's going to happen. There's something good. There's something good ahead. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pronounce a blessing on you. If you want to see the announcement about tonight and about Alan and about what's going to happen with kids ministry starting up in a couple weeks, you can just sit right there. And if you don't want to, because you just don't need an announcement about anything, well, then you can slip on out. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. So, thanks for watching. Thanks for being here. If you want to see the announcement, stay here. If you want to see the announcement, stay online. If you want to go home and eat, I hope you have a little something. You'll feel better. Amen. See you tonight
at
7.
Pastor Phil, Pastor Sarah here with some announcements for you. This is Sunday, July the 12th, when we're doing this. So tonight, 7 o'clock in the East parking lot, outside, we're going to have worship. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have communion together. We've not been able to do that together in a while, and it's safer outside. And so you'll need to bring a lawn chair. Again, no chairs out there, but bring a lawn chair, a place for you to sit, and come and join us for worship, for prayer, and for communion together. I believe it's going to be a powerful time tonight. And notice that we're doing it at 7 o'clock tonight. Hopefully it'll be, I know it's going to be hot, but hopefully we'll have a little more shade at 7. And we should be out there about an hour or something. But anyway, just come and experience the presence of the Lord together. Mm-hmm. Again, invite somebody to come with you and participate in the Lord's Supper together tonight, July 12th, Sunday night, 7 o'clock.
And now we have the announcement that many of you have been waiting on. So moms and dads, gather the kids. You want to hear this announcement that starting on July 26th, that's 2 weeks from today, July 26th, we will be offering in-person Arc Park and Carbondale kids. Yes. So this will happen during the 10:45 service only so that we don't have to clean things in between service. So 10:45 service, the Arc Park will be open for all of your kids. And at 10:45, there will be a special release time from the service for the kids to go upstairs with Pastor Brittany.
So we're doing this is old school. It's the way we used to do it early on, that the kids joined us for a prayer and worship and have that experience. And then when I get up to preach.
It's been so great to have the kids in.
It's been awesome. The kids have been great. They've added some energy to things and they've done super. Moms and dads, you've done so well having your kids in the service. And but this is the way we used to do it. And so they'll join us. They'll experience the worship and stuff with mom and dad. It's good for kids to see mom and dad worshiping. And then when I get up to preach, then the kids will go upstairs to be with Pastor Brittany for that special message from her to the kids. So it's going to be good. We're looking forward to it.
So when you arrive, moms and dads, you can take the kids directly to the Arc Park. And for those of you who have Carbondale kid age K kids, you will check them in downstairs before you go into the sanctuary, and then we'll start off there, and then like he said, we'll be released. So we're super excited about that. That is coming up in 2 weeks' time. July 26th is the date to mark down. We want to make sure that the kids are able to go back to their original spaces before Promotion Sunday, which happens just a few weeks later on in August. So this will be a great time for the kids to be able to come back in person. For those of you who will remain online, I want to just make sure that you know that the service structure will remain the same. So you will still be able to have your kids engage in a special moment within the service with Pastor Brittany, and her service will still be put online at 12:15. So even if you're not in person, there is still kids ministry happening for your kids on July 26th.
And one more thing, next Sunday, we've got a very special guest. Alan Griffin is going to be with us. He's going to be here as part of our youth camp, our Carbondale youth camp. And so he'll be here on Sunday morning to speak. He spoke last year and just knocked it out of the park. Just phenomenal. And we are so excited to have this powerful preacher back on a week from today on Sunday morning. So I hope you'll be here. If you can be here in the house for that, man, it's going to be great. If not, watch online, but it's going to be a powerful time. We're looking forward to having Alan Griffin, and that's next Sunday morning as our special pulpit guest.
So whether you're joining us online or in person, thank you, Carbondale, for continuing to make this a place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace.
Blessings on you. We look forward to seeing you tonight at 7 o'clock to have communion with us and worship. Bring your lawn chair, bring a friend. Let's get the family together, and let's celebrate the Lord together tonight. So God bless you. Thanks for being with us today.